It's Wednesday, January 9th, 2008, and you're listening to episode 86 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games with a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 54 minutes.
You're listening to The G-Spot. That's Girls Gone Gamer. I'm your host, Vidanya, and I want to do naughty things to you with my antlers.
I'm Lydda, a sixth-level rogue. Watch out or I'll steal your heart.
Hi, I'm Miali, and I don't need a spell to win your heart.
Hello, I'm Alejandra, and I'll conquer your heart with my sword of truth, justice, and the paladin way.
Hi, my name is Ember, and I'll beat you with my big Dick.
Phil, what are you doing? This is a girls' podcast.
Dick.
Get out of here, Phil.
Go play with your stick somewhere else, okay?
Go hang out with the guys.
All right, seriously now, this is Wives of Donuts, part two.
God, it's been a
long time ago. We are your hosts. I'm Melina, who you've previously heard on Wives of Donuts, part one. We also have tonight.
I'm Katie. I'm a friend of donuts.
Hi, and I'm Becky, the wife of a Phil.
The very lucky
of
wife.
A Phil, not the Phil, but a Phil.
And I'm Carla. I am Dan's wife.
All right. So the first thing we kind of wanted to talk about tonight was how we each fit into the gaming subculture. You've heard a little bit before from Carla and I on the last podcast, but just to recap, I'm Adam's wife, and I started gaming after I met him. I do some RPGs, not as many as I used to when I had time. I'm not really big into video games, but I do enjoy a good horror survival game now and then. Katie?
I'm Katie. I actually started gaming with my church group, and then later on with Adam and Phil and people who knew them. And I'm a big Trekkie, so a big live long and prosper to all the Trekkies out there. Pretty much now is my life just composed of Star Trek and D&D.
This is Becky. I started gaming with Phil. He actually brought me to my first gaming session, where honestly all I did was I sat there and looked around at everybody. But my big thing is video games. I love playing on the computer. I love some Xbox games, but my main thing is not role-playing games.
Becky, I remember your first game. It was a game of Alternity, probably, what, 6-5 years ago?
And at least.
We were gaming at the Fantasy Shop in South County.
That's right. We all thought you hated us.
Yeah. You looked just absolutely horrified. But we're glad to have you our fold now.
So. But I'm Carla. Most of you guys probably remember me from the Wives of Donuts part one. Also been on a few other podcasts. I am not an avid gamer. Got sort of into the few games I've played when I first met Dan, and don't really get a chance to participate very often since the games never seem to make it when I'm rolling a character, which most people already know. So I'm not into video games much either, but you know, it's always fun to talk about it, especially when everyone else I know enjoys it. So,
well, let's get right into the important hard matters. And that is, who in the sci-fi fantasy world are we all in love with?
Oh, let me tell you.
Who wants to start? Becky.
Okay, I'll start. Okay, as a young person, I love two people. One was Spock. You know, as there's something about pointy ears and slightly greenish skin and raised eyebrows that can just melt a girl's heart, even though he's a little bit unemotionally available. But I think we're all attracted to that. And the second person, I have to admit, I'm a little bit embarrassed about this, was Wesley.
Princess Bride.
Oh, no.
Next Generation.
Wesley. Sorry.
Pressure. Star Trek.
I'm not a big Next Generation girl.
Yeah. No, he was.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people actually hated Wesley.
So I hate him now. I look back and think, what was I thinking?
Well, jumping on the Next Gen bandwagon, I guess I don't really have like a character, but it's more just Patrick Stewart. I mean, come on. Did I steal yours? You're
My
shaking your head.
My best friend loves Patrick Stewart. I do not see the sexual attraction.
Oh, he's
to him
a hottie.
At all.
Yeah. I like Patrick Stewart.
It's not his body. It's like the power thing.
It's just something. It's just right.
I think my most embarrassing attraction would probably be to the character of Arnold Rimmer in Red Dwarf.
I love Rimmer.
I don't know. It's just something about him that's just so pathetic. You take pity on him. And that episode where the two women in Terraform are oiling down his clammy white naked body.
Just to make sure you have a pizza ready for him afterwards.
I've actually never seen Red Dwarf.
Oh, man. We need to have a viewing.
Okay, so I started off in life madly in love with Captain Kirk. I think most women do. And then Next Generation, Data. Love Data.
Data was pretty fun.
And then in high school, we actually had a Dr. Bashir fan club where we would call each other during the commercial breaks and talk about whatever it was that Julian did because he was that amazing.
Okay, he was pretty hot, but I never was in a fan club.
Sorry, Katie.
It was four people.
What? At least we gave her trouble about the Wesley Crusher thing, right?
What about George Takei? George, if you're out there listening to this, we love you. And yes, we will do anything to get you to come be a guest on this show. Yeah. We will all leave our husbands for you.
Even though, have a picture with
them,
don't you?
Some of us aren't married.
Even though you probably wouldn't be interested, we'll give you our husbands.
We'll trade.
Actually, I did get the pleasure of meeting him for a few moments at Archon. And wonderful he was experience. Just wonderful. He was very is. Kind. Very.
Now, was that the Archon that you had? Because I've seen a picture of you with George Takei.
2004.
2004?
Yeah. We got him to autograph my picture with him. So, but he was just as kind and patient. And, you know, each person wanted to tell their story. And he listened. And he was just.
He didn't charge for autographs.
No.
He didn't charge for pictures.
He would sign up to three things absolutely free. He was just a wonderful wonderful person.
You know, it still just is strange to me that celebrities would even charge for an autograph. I mean, isn't it enough that they're celebrities? They have to charge.
A lot of them are new and up and coming ones who it's like if you have this man, George, who's been popular for as long as he has been and he's not charging, then you've got someone who's been in the industry for a year and they want $10 to take your picture with them.
Incidentally, I'd like to congratulate him on having an asteroid named after him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if that asteroid does anything interesting scientific, it will be called, there's a number that goes with it, the Takei.
Oh, that's
asteroid.
Pretty cool. Let's hope it doesn't hit Earth.
Yeah, that would be George Takei, like, creating mass destruction.
So, Becky, what about Christopher Eccleston? I didn't hear you say anything about him. Doctor Who? The Doctor, excuse me.
Okay. Doctor Who has its own special, like...
Category
in my life. I was raised on Doctor Who. Like, some people watch Care Bears and Barney... Well, not Barney, like, when I was small, but Sesame Street. I watched Doctor Who every day.
Well, originally, Doctor Who was supposed to be a child's program.
Really?
Yeah.
It gave me nightmares, too.
I was not introduced to Doctor Who until I was 13 and I moved to St. Louis. The first week I was here, I couldn't sleep. And they had the Channel 9-a-thon and Doctor Who was on and I was hooked ever since.
Becky is the woman that I believe it was Archon 2004 or 2005. There's this man that goes there dressed as Rimmer every year. And he had built the Doctor Who, you know the name of the dog, Becky.
K-9.
He had built a replica and Becky ran up to that dog. And straddled it and was riding it with a drink in one hand. The guy, he didn't know what to do. He was partially horrified because he's like, no, don't break that. But at the same time, he's like, oh my God, this hot chick is straddling canine.
And the best thing about it was that this canine dog looked like it was real life size, and it made the sounds that canine made, except it was so quiet, you know, that above the hubbub and everything of Archon, you couldn't hear it unless you put your head right next to its, you know, soft, smooth
metal exterior.
Metal body. Oh, it was hot.
So speaking of cons, I think conventions are a big thing for all of us. We all really love them. Carla, yeah. I guess just recently.
I've been to one.
It's less than a year till Archon.
Are you counting down the days?
Oh, always.
7 months and some.
We know the guys did an episode where they were talking about con preparation.
But that was a joke.
We just wanted to talk about preparation from a female's perspective, like some of the things we do, you know, before a con that we start planning 7 months out and tearing off days on the calendar.
First event is planning. And then we plan and write down more things. And I have to say, Melina is the mistress of planning.
Yeah, I'm anal.
Hey, but it all comes together. I remember your half boo thing that you guys did. It worked out really good.
That was fun. First thing is to try to get a room as early in advance because they fill up fast and you can't always guarantee your fridge. And don't get a room on the first floor unless you're going to have a party there because you won't get any sleep.
I strongly recommend getting a room at the convention hotel always if you plan on drinking, because one year we had to traverse the field that is in between the convention hotel for Archon, the hotel we were in. There was swamp grass up to my knees. It was balmy. I was crunching on various bugs and I could feel them jumping up my pant leg. It was
horrible.
The most disgusting thing. If I hadn't had been drunk, it would not have been worth it. But
or you need someone who's just going to abstain from drinking the whole night.
That's no fun.
No.
So it's usually easier just to stay there in the con.
Yes, much better. I mean, walking is hard enough when
you're drunk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And you still might want to have a sober person for the walk back, right? Because you're going to have to carry somebody's body back
or drag him.
I think one of the differences between us and the guys is we spend so much time planning costumes for these conventions.
Yeah.
Whether we're going to enter the masquerade or whether we're just going to look really slutty walking down the halls.
And are we going to match or are we going to all do our own thing? These are huge questions that need to be decided really far in advance.
So let me ask, as if we didn't already have this all planned out, what are some of our ideas for the upcoming Archon?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, Alina. My God, I've been working on that.
I don't know. What were you thinking about?
Well, oh, should we tell everybody or should it be a surprise? No.
Yeah, so. They're going to find out sooner or later.
I think we were thinking of doing an X-Girls, X-Men theme, doing a little Emma Frost and...
I'll be debuting as Mystique.
Ooh. Oh, and I'll be going as Dark Phoenix.
I was contemplating going as Storm. I have to get a pretty good tan, though.
I think we all do. Katie has to be so tan that she's blue.
Thank God there's paint. Yeah.
What about you, Melina?
Emma Frost.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, she has various costumes, and I believe whichever costume I do is going to be dependent on the state of toneness of my stomach at the time. So for the masquerade, we were thinking of doing an Orion slave girl sexy dance. And Becky and I have been researching the various ways to make your entire body green when you're wearing almost no clothing. So,
wow.
I'm going to be stepping out and doing my own thing this year, and I'm going to be a seraphim. And I think that'll be quite interesting.
I'm looking forward to trying to get a spray thing.
Airbrush?
Yes, thank you.
I think our various ideas so far, we've researched airbrush, body paint. I think there were a couple others, but those seem to be the... Oh, liquid latex.
Yes, liquid latex.
But, would that get hot, wearing liquid latex all over?
I'm worried that if we go to the dance after the masquerade, if we rub up against anyone, it'll pull off like zombie flesh.
Right.
So we'll be peeling.
The Zed Squad might attack you.
Zombie Orion slave girls. That would be an interesting skit.
That's scary.
But so do any of you have any interesting or funny previous con stories that you'd like to share?
One of mine is he was a con virgin, which is the person who goes to the con for the first time. And I had him arrested by girl Klingons. And
you can tell them who it is.
His name is John Grana. And those of you who know him, I do have pictures to prove this. Basically, we had these two buxom Klingon chicks, and then two extra chicks were thrown into the deal because we had to wait to have him arrested. And although he said he hated me and was angry with me for doing this to him, the pictures state otherwise.
There is a picture of him just... His eyes are laser beamed onto the Klingon's breasts, and they are so big. They were gigantic.
Is that the one I heard about that on the forums? I read that somewhere, but there was no picture to back it up, so I didn't get to see it.
Well, I'll bring the album.
Okay. Oh, you have an album.
We might have to scan that and put it on the forum for everyone to see.
Yeah, this is our headliner for this, for this pod.
But this is not the first Klingon abduction we've had within the group. Melina here has had her before her husband was her husband, had him arrested.
When me and Adam were dating, that was when the Klingons were still doing the arrests at Archon. I gave him his picture, and I think it was like, what, $20 or something. And they hunted him down. They put shackles on him, the equivalent of like a ball and chain, and also shoulder and neck. And they marched him through the convention site and then put him on stage and made him sing "I'm a Little Teapot" in front of everyone.
Multiple times.
I believe the charges I levied against him were for being generally not fun at the convention because he was in one of his moods. But yeah, I think that helped.
That was worth $20.
Yeah, it was.
Was he still talking to you afterwards?
Yeah, you know, we were dating. That was actually the convention where I really wanted a Ruth Thompson piece at the art auction. For those of you who know her piece,
She's
Beauty.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Her paintings are.
I have a few of her pieces. This was my first delve into the collection of fantasy artwork. Now my walls are covered. I didn't know you could just order these prints online. This was, I believe, my first Archon. And at the art auction, there was a guy who had bid on every single Ruth Thompson piece. That piece, which you could probably get online in her print shop for like $40. This man was bidding, and Adam knew that I wanted it, and he was upbidding him and kept upbidding him to like $140 or $150, and he won the piece for me.
The interesting thing was I was with Adam when he was doing this bid, and I'm like, here's a couple bucks. So, and everybody in the group gave in a couple bucks, but Adam obviously went above and beyond anything we handed him. And when we won, we all just stood up and we started cheering and high-fiving. We're like, yeah, we own it. And then we all sat down.
I have a really old Polaroid picture from that day with all of us standing, me holding the picture. It's so old, it's like already starting to brown, but it's on my refrigerator.
But that makes it worth it. It gives it character.
Yeah. Those are the memories you take home from a con. You got to make your own fun. And I think one of the biggest examples of doing that was at the HAFU protest. We made our own fun for that con.
We did. We did.
Offer rules.
Yeah, we made signs for so many days.
That's what I was just going to say. The amount of signs you guys had and the makeup you guys put on Phil. And
that was fun.
Yeah. You guys, and all the songs. You did all the songs.
Oh, that was so much fun. I think Adam cringes when I say this, but filking, like, that was what it was, you know, making up lyrics to famous songs based on zombies. And it was a lot of fun. I think I'll go to a filking panel next convention.
And we appreciate the fact that the Zed Squad played along so wonderfully.
They did. They did.
Yeah, I think we all had fun.
The panel next to us didn't have any fun.
I'm very sorry if you're listening to this, but we didn't really know that there was a piano recital in the same convention as Archon. I still don't really understand. Maybe you were just telling us that to get us to shut up, but either way, we're sorry.
Hey, it was fun. That's all that matters.
So what about your first convention, Becky?
Oh my goodness. Let me tell you about my first convention. It is where I truly became a not virgin, because Phil, I really didn't know what a convention was. And then my husband said, hey, let's go to Archon with Adam and Melina and all the other people. And I was like, okay. And Phil said, well, let's go to Hot Topic and buy some things. And so we went in there and he bought my whole wardrobe. He bought me, you know, the pants. He bought me this cute little bra. He bought me a very see-through shirt. And, you know, this is my
husband.
Dark
angel wings.
Yes.
Little horns.
All that he got me. And I had no idea what I was getting into. So I walk into the room at Archon and put all this stuff on and go downstairs, and I guess we started dancing.
I would like to interject that prior to this day, none of us had ever seen Becky in anything other than like high-waisted peg leg jeans, sorry Becky, and like maybe a tiger t-shirt, like nothing like revealing, nothing, you know, Archon-y or subculture-ish or anything that could be purchased at Hot Topic at all.
Yeah, so I wasn't very much of a Hot Topic looking person. But then I started to drink and got out on the dance floor, and Omega Becky came out. You know, it's kind
of... This was Omega Becky.
This was Omega Becky, the beginning of. And one thing I do have to warn everybody about drinking. Okay. I'm sure all of you that have gone to a con know this. Once you've been drinking for quite a while, any pirate that is drinking and dancing with you on the dance floor becomes very attractive.
This was before Captain Jack. This was...
Before pirates got all...
Yeah. This was 04.
This man had was dressed as a pirate. He had the best smelling cologne on. I think it was Jovan for men. And I was really drunk too, because I thought he was really hot.
Yeah.
Until I went back and looked at the pictures of us with him.
Beer goggles.
Yes.
Exactly. Then it was kind of a shudder. But let me tell you, Archon truly brought out the best in me.
And this was the year that Becky and I made it on the cover of the Riverfront Times, a local newspaper.
Yeah, and I think the caption said like hot girls.
Dorks gone wild.
Becky was literally wearing a bra.
I was. That was it.
And I was wearing like a little pink top that looks...
That covered less than my bra did.
Well.
What a proud moment for your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bad thing about this was one of the guys at work got a hold of this Riverfront Time and came into work about, you know, 7 o'clock at night. I worked the night shift, and he was waving it around saying, look, 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 Becky, look, I found your picture. I'm like, oh, dear God, no, please. Well, I'm not, you know, embarrassed about doing stuff like this. When people at work know about it, it does not help.
They never let you live it down. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
They never let you.
No, they don't. Especially when they don't understand. They just think about the stereotypes and they just don't get it.
I think it was the biggest boost for my ego ever in my life, walking into Schnucks that week. I had already known that we were on the cover, but just for the heck of it, I went into Schnucks and looked at the magazine stack and I was like, oh, yeah, that's me on the cover.
We actually ended up being in the local paper, and it's mostly Phil and Becky, but I'm right next to them, and I'm looking away, but you can tell it's me quite easily.
I've seen this picture. This was during the Hapu protest a couple years ago.
And it was great. I bought a copy for myself, for my mother, for Becky. I was buying copies. That was the most probably Sunday papers they ever sold. But that was huge, because I'm like, that's great. But you also got to be careful, because my father, every Archon I get back, starts searching the internet for pictures. He wants to know what his little girl was up to. It's like, God.
That's the best part, though.
Yeah, but you can't control those. It's like, fortunately, I have never done anything to warrant being worried.
Those were the most fun experiences. I think probably the happiest experience was Becky and I did Tokyo Mew Mew costumes that we talked about on the bonus episode after ASUN. We entered those into the Archon Masquerade, and we won Best Anime.
We won. Oh, yes. Costume. We won.
But we're really good costumes.
That was a really awesome moment.
There was
only one downside with those costumes, though, right?
The 8-inch boots. 8-inch platform boots.
And the Marabou.
Oh. This goes back in a con preparation discussion. Nobody's going to want to hear this story. We worked on these costumes for probably 9 months, every single Saturday for 7 to 8 hours. And this one Saturday, there's so much marabou on these costumes. For those that don't know what that is, it's that really fine, sexy looking feather trim. While Becky was putting together the main pieces of the costume on the sewing machine, I was sitting in the corner of the sewing room on the floor sewing marabou for 8 hours. After that, I never wanted to see marabou again.
When she stood up, feathers flew everywhere, and she had this glint in her eyes that was kind of a go for the throat. I'm going to kill somebody. Just come on, give me something to kill. Please.
It was the crazy eye twitch.
It was the crazy eye.
But it paid off, I think.
It did. We've worn them for 2 cons, and we've gotten a lot of good feedback on them.
I think the other really fun experience we had was, I think in 2005 or 6, it was a room party called Legend of the Five Rings.
Oh, yes. I think that was our 2006.
Yeah.
That was good.
They had the entire floor covered in plastic. And when you walked in, they would pour you 5 shots. Each shot was 100 proof. Various alcohols. And someone in the room, I was already pretty toasted, someone convinced me that it would be this fantastic idea just to pour all 5 shots into one cup and take it all at once.
They actually just mentioned something about taking all the shots. Oh, you're going to do all the shots.
No, they put a gun to my head and forced me.
Okay, that's a story we're going with. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, that was I'm not sure what I saw in those 5 seconds after downing that, but it might have been God. I'm not sure. but that was good. And they weren't back last year, probably because of the NASVIC prices. But hopefully, hopefully they'll be back next year.
Yeah. Note to Archon people, don't do that again. It was so not worth it.
No, the attendance was kind of stagnant, but you know, we still had a good time.
Yes, we had a lot of fun because I think it was because of the experience that Melina and I got from doing the masquerade.
Yeah. Oh, I do have to compliment Archon's masquerade staff.
Oh, yes.
Their room that they have for the entrance to sit in, and they have food, and they have den mothers. We had a den father, actually. And, you know, they take care of you. Anything you need, they absolutely take care of you. It's like a stark contrast from ASUN. So,
yeah, it's wonderful. They make you feel welcome. They make you feel like you're doing a great job. And if you have any questions, they're going to answer it. Like Melina said, if there's anything you want, they're going to get it.
And Carla actually got in on the costuming with us this past year for the Mirror Mirror costumes.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You guys joked around that my costume covered a little too much, but compared to you guys.
We haven't brought out the Omega Carla.
No, not yet. But yeah, I think the biggest pain was wearing those boot things that would not stay up.
Thigh highs. We tried pasty glue. We tried sewing elastic to the insides of them.
And I think we even tried duct tape.
Duct tape. We tried tape. They just were rolling down.
Yeah.
Like, if we ever do that again, I think I'm going to get clear garters.
It was a good idea. I mean, it looked really good. It just wouldn't stay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't think I would ever do the masquerade piece of it. It's, you know, I don't know if I could deal with that stress and the whole day going towards that. But I did like walking around and, you know, being dressed up with the rest of you guys.
Yeah, I think that's part of the fun of it, because when you're just dressed up, you know,
you have all your friends around you. They're dressed up with you. And
remember those two guys?
Oh, when we were in the Mirror Mirror costumes, there were these two Star Trek guys. And it was so cool because they were dressed up as
ambassadors from Star
Trek. Thank you, as ambassadors.
Katie would know.
And from the Star Trek movies. And when they saw us in the original costumes, they went and changed into their original Star Trek costumes.
So we had both evil and good universes.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, those pictures are, I believe, on the internet still.
Yeah, they're on the forum.
I gotta tell you, the best ego boost for me is when complete strangers stop you in the hall to take your picture. It's like, you look so wonderful. We want your picture. We don't know who you are. We don't care who you are. We want your picture.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I was actually took a little bit of getting used to people wanting to take your picture. I'm like walking down, I'm like, you want my picture? Okay. Because I think later on in the evening, I changed into the Deanna Troi original outfit from the first episode, the scant outfit.
That and, looked really good on you.
Yeah, I kind of wish I wouldn't have done the stupid headband thing. But anyway, I was not used to having people just stop me to take my picture. I'm like, all right, if you really want it.
Yeah, that did take a little bit of getting used to my first year because I didn't go with any sort of costume. I just went with my Hot Topic stuff.
Me too.
And Melina and I got stopped so many times. I did not understand why were these people stopping me to
wearing bras.
You guys were hot.
But why?
Maybe that.
I got to. I love Archon just for the sheer number of guys versus girls. It's so in our favor. And I remember the first year Melina went, Melina, myself, and another girl, we had a contest unofficially to see how many guys would come up and talk to us. And although Melina did win, I came in a very close second, and I was quite happy about that.
Is this one of those things that I conveniently don't remember?
Absolutely, I'm sure.
There was too much alcohol involved.
All right, so everyone has shared their convergence story. So I thought I would throw my convergence story on the fire here since no one's heard that. When I went to my first con, it was like arriving home. Finally, a place where people understood me, my need to express my dorkdom. And it was just wonderful. It was a whole homecoming for me. When I hit the dance floor, it was great because all of a sudden, no matter how badly I danced, I was a dancing god. It was fabulous. Although I have to admit, I do remember Melina's convergence-ness more than my own because that was the first year she and I really hung out and got to know each other. And it was my year to protect her from all the strange guys that would come attacking.
What are you talking about? There aren't any strange guys at cons.
And they all smell fantastic, too.
I've protected you a couple times,
yes,
Missy.
Yes, you have.
So do you want to talk about our big event that precedes each con every year?
I consider it part of the con myself. No con is complete without your slut shopping beforehand, pre-party, if you will.
It takes up an entire day of just scouring the mall for the sluttiest, smallest pieces of fabric we can possibly find.
For the perfect outfit that you think, oh my goodness, I look like a goddess in this. I am a god.
You have to save up for this because damn, Hot Topics and Tours are not cheap.
I think in the last couple of years, they haven't been as big for us, like at least not last year, because we had so many costume changes.
Right. We had sewn our outfit.
That Saturday evening after the masquerade was the night that we wore our slut clothes and we danced with Richard Hatch on the dance floor.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good times. He actually looked like he was a professional trying to do swing moves with Becky.
Yeah, and I don't know how to swing dance. I just kind of freestyle it.
We were dancing and we had a great time. We were exhausted from the masquerade. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what song started. It might have been Locomotion, but a conga line formed. And as we were on the conga line, it wrapped around so that we were going one direction. The people on the other side were going the other. And there was Richard Hatch on the other side, just going crazy on the conga line.
That's cool. I find for Archon, I go through at least 6 outfit changes. Because I have my daytime slut clothes, and then at night is when I start putting on the costumes, because that's when they're most appreciated. So if you have your cape, you can, you know, your cape, your Ren costume, that's more of a daytime thing. And then, you know, the evening time is when you want to be, you know, your Orion slave girl, your school girl.
That's when that stuff comes out. Yeah.
It's going to be so awesome when my prospective employers find this.
You know, it might help you on some case because they'll be like, oh my goodness, this seamstress did this and this. And you'll be all like
with the candlestick in the library.
Except for the fact she's not going into seamstress business. But,
you know, maybe it could be a client that
I think she was saying I'd have to defend the seamstress in a court of law.
So if Joanne Fabrics ever needs Melina.
I have expert background in that area.
Yes, you do. The nice thing about Renaissance costumes, besides wearing them at the con itself, you can also wear them at the Renaissance Fair, which thankfully go on periodically. Pretty much throughout the summer, if you're willing to do a little driving.
Now, there's an annual one that takes place in Wentzville, right?
Yes, they have their spring one, and they also last year started a pirate festival in the fall.
I heard that pirate festival was quite fun.
Yes, yeah. It was. Although it rained almost every weekend, I think.
I think when we went, we got on one of the lucky days where there was no rain.
Yeah.
And we saw these girls that did like aerials on, I guess, pieces of fabric that they call them aerial dancers.
Yeah.
They would do all kinds of acrobatics. That was kind of neat.
Those are real pretty.
Every year I try to go to the Bristol Renaissance Fair, which is right on the Wisconsin border. And that place is fabulous. They've been doing this for about 25 years. And it is, you know, the most gorgeous costumes, the most wonderful jousts. They have the horses and the professional riders. And if you just want to forget, you know, reality, watch the time traveling Vikings walk past you and then go to a joust and root for your knight. This is this is my highest recommendation would be that Renaissance Fair. Although there are quite a few wonderful fairs in the United States, in California and Minnesota, especially.
In Florida. My first fair that I ever went to was in college, and I wasn't in costume because I had no idea what to expect. But when I went out, you know, when we were going to leave and I went out to the parking lot, I literally had this jolt of, I guess, like culture shock. Oh my goodness, what are these metal boxes? Where am I? What is a parking lot? No.
And don't you feel a little upset that everyone's not calling you m'lady anymore?
Yes. Yes. Nobody was kissing my hand out there. They're just giving me weird looks.
Oh my God. I love that. Chivalry should come back if they did nothing else but called you m'lady and kissed your hand all day.
See, I think we'd all be happy. I find a problem with trying to strike a balance between chivalry and
creepiness.
Equal opportunity.
Oh.
Because I want them to open the door for me. But God damn it, I can open my own damn door and it's my right to open that door. So I have conflicting views on the matter.
You know, I totally agree with you. I don't think that everybody should open the door for you. I think your significant other should open the door for you, do those special things, and kind of put you on a bit of a pedestal.
Does anyone have their significant other open their car door for them and let them in and then close the door behind them?
Man, that's just gay.
I had a boyfriend that used to do that.
I had one guy do that once and I was shocked. I'm like, what? What is this? But I see a lot of other couples doing it. It's like a lot of people, I don't know.
I've had somebody do that for me, and it's really nice once you get used to it. Now, my sister and her husband, he does that for her all the time. They've been married, I don't know, like 13 years or so. And one time when she was shopping with my mom got out of the car, was halfway to the store. I don't know where they were going. And look back, my sister was still in the car waiting for her to open up the door, and it was just habit for her.
It's a time waster to have to walk around the car, open the door, let him out. I don't know. I think it's sweet, but you know.
Yeah.
You get used to it, I have to say, because I had a boyfriend who used to do that. And so you almost kind of stand there and look at the door wondering why it's not opening for you when it's not automated. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's not with me right now. I need to open that myself.
You know, I do that all the time. This is a really embarrassing story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So at my work, everything is automated in the bathrooms. So you go to the sinks, the water comes on. Everything is automated. So I'll go to another bathroom and I'll be standing at the sink. I'm like, why the heck is the water not coming out?
You're waving your hand underneath. Oh, I do that all the time.
I'm so used to it. Like, because it's, you know, I work there 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And anyway, so it's embarrassing, but that happens all the time. I get used to it.
I have to agree with you. I have the same thing. Well, almost the same thing at work, but the toilets flush automatically. Yeah. So when I go to one that's a regular old toilet, you know, it's like, why isn't it making noise?
Why isn't it flushing after me? I'm sorry. Okay. Back to Ren Fairs.
Right.
What, this
I go
is
to
a
the Kansas City.
It wouldn't be FTV without tangents.
Yeah. But you can buy some of the nicest things there. Your dragon jewelry, your gold plated or pewter plated roses. I mean, if you're going to shop. Yeah. Yes. Oh, God. I'd go there just to shop sometimes. I'm like, make sure you bring your checkbook and your cash. And I guarantee you, I spend
and
everything.
And your firstborn.
Hey, yeah.
I think my big money waster at Ren Faire's is artwork. But I do that at cons, too. I should be ordering it off of, you know, the internet. But there's something about just getting your artwork either at the convention or at the Ren Faire. I collect a lot of L.A. Williams stuff. If anyone out there has a print called Stone Cold, I'd be willing to buy it from you. I've tried to find it everywhere, but apparently he's not making any more copies, and I can't get him to return my emails.
Well, what does it look like?
It's kind of a black and white, except for the woman's. I collect artwork basically of women. Most of them either have butts in them or angel wings. And it's just basically this girl up leaning up against the back of a man. You can't really see the man, but she's got some funky elf ears and some weird snake hair. So it's hard to explain.
Well, what I really love about the Ren fairs and the cons is a lot of times you can meet the artists and the craftsmen who made the products. And that's really cool because you can even discuss with them. Like I had lots of opportunities to talk to artists, especially at Archon, where they make the artists so approachable with their different discussion boards and that you can find out what was the inspiration for this work, or how did you get into it, or how can you afford to be in this field, you know?
And I know Dan had a conversation with a swordsmith. He bought a sword from him and was able to go through the whole process of how it was made and all the time he spent into it. So yeah.
Malia doesn't know this, but I did get to meet Ruth Thompson.
Oh. She was there, I believe, that year that Adam did the art bid.
Yeah, and that was the year I went to my first art board, and she was running it. And so I actually sat next to her and got to talk to her. So I've always had that I've had that experience. Melina hasn't.
Oh, just rub it in.
One-upped her, finally.
Yeah, that I've learned a lot of my sewing techniques from people at Ren fairs, because I don't exactly work at the one at Kansas City. I more volunteer, but one of the ladies there taught me how to make cloaks or capes, and that's given me the confidence to go and make, you know, other things, to be able to make the costumes that Melina and I have made, and to be able to, I guess, freestyle make costumes.
So this is kind of off of the Ren fair tangent, but eventually I kind of wanted to do this the summer before I started law school, but I never actually organized it or got everybody to, you know, make their schedules so we could all meet up for this. But I really wanted to do an all girls one-shotter of a Cthulhu game, either, you know, like at one of our houses, and write the Cthulhu game, light some candles, make it all scary, and have us do a girls only RPG session and then podcast about it. But I still would like to do it in the future, and then maybe we'll have something for Wives of Donuts 3.
That would be cool, actually, because I don't even know that much about Cthulhu. So
I've never GM'd. So
he's tentacly in green.
I know what he looks like, but I don't know like what the whole storyline is.
What I love the most about playing Cthulhu, because I have had the opportunity to play it before with Melina, is that it's so different from Dungeons and Dragons. You know, the strongest, best fighter is not the character you want to play, because that's the character that's going to get in first. You know, if you I hear rustling in the bushes, I attack. Well, that means you're going to die, and I love that, because I'm sorry, Becky, but yes, that would be Phil. You know, every time, you know, what happens in the darkness, I attack the darkness kills you. That's what, and you know, when you start off the game, you automatically have to have your second character handy at any moment, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, the DM's not going to go out of their way to make sure you live, and that you actually have to use your brains to kind of keep out of trouble. I appreciate that part of the game.
I usually, the one or two games that I have played, I usually am on the sidelines picking daisies, talking to random people that have nothing to do with the storyline, and I'm probably infuriating the DM because I'm not, you know, following along with the storyline. I'm just seeing what everybody else is going to do, because I really have no idea what to do.
That's because you have to stay out of Phil's way for him to kill everything.
Yeah, he does have a tendency to do that, doesn't he?
Because if you don't, he ends up killing members of the party.
I remember the last, I'm not currently gaming. Well, I kind of am. Adam was GMing a zombie game, but then we had a hiatus because of the holidays.
And now the 40 closure.
Yeah, great. So for those of you that don't live in St. Louis, they just closed down the major highway that everyone uses, big section of it, and we are all in hell right now. Yeah. So
we'd like to thank the rocket scientists of St. Louis for coming up with this genius plan of closing it for 2 years.
So anyway, but I remember the last game that I did before law school was Dan's, and I think I ruined his entire plot for the entire game by just making one stupid mistake and not asking the priest what the little pieces of paper in his hand said. I thought the guy was going to kill me. Sorry that was going to be like the reveal of the entire exposition and of where we needed to go. But
what did you do? Did you try and kill him or something?
No, I just, I was really creeped out by him, and I just kind of backed away slowly.
Sometimes when you have characters that have nothing to do with each other, they tend to make very interesting play. Like in one instance, I played a nun and everybody else was sick of nuns. And I had a great time just sprinkling holy water on everyone. And they couldn't wait for that character to die. And then when I did die and I came back as someone else, of course, the personality had to be completely different. And sometimes it's hard because you really get into one character and then you're like, oh, God, now I got to stop playing that one. I really liked that one. Of course, I have the habit of playing the same character in every game I play, so not too genius on my part.
Well, I think we are nearing the end of our Wives of Donuts podcast. So,
or Friends of.
Friends of Donuts. Yeah, Katie's not married to anyone, so we want you all to know that if you come to Fear the Con, which we will be plugging momentarily, Katie will be there looking for a nice piece of male totty.
A good time.
She's available.
Yeah, she...
And blushing.
I promised her I wouldn't do this, but my husband edits the episode, and she doesn't have one.
She's going to kill you.
But Becky, did you want to start with the plug?
My husband being Phil.
And we're so sorry for him about that.
Being a Phil.
Condolences.
He would like me to tell you that Insert Coin is giving away a free copy of Project Slipfeed.
Man note, I believe Becky is trying to say Project Silfeed.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm really sorry, but this is a weird, really, really weird name, okay, for the 360. So go to www.insertcoin-coinlive.com.
Do you want to say that address one more time?
Go to www.insert-coinlive.com.
He must have beautiful handwriting.
Oh, yes, it's so nice.
We also have another announcement. There's going to be a one-day mini-con for those of you in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It's going to take place on Saturday, February 16th, and it's called Isohedron. It's going to be a small day affair. There's going to be two 4.5-hour gaming sessions, the first from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., the second from 3:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. The organizers have structured it so the morning's going to be strictly D20 based games. The afternoon is going to be games on demand. GMs will be on hand during the games on demand to run whatever games people want to play. The GMs will have prepared one or more games ahead of time, and they'll run one for whatever a table full of people decide. It's going to be $10 to attend Isohedron and play in both sections. And the website, if you'd like to visit it, is www.warhorn.net/isohedron. That's www.warhorn.net/ICEOHEDRON. Isohedron.
Isohedron. That's a cool phrase, word,
yeah.
Name.
Sounds like a perfume.
Perfume.
Isohedron.
I just think of like a big dye with icy colors on it.
In a hedron.
Anyway, also wanted to plug Fear the Con, of course.
Yay!
Woot!
The guys already did this, but we just want you all to know that there will be females there. And I'd say we're all extremely hot, so there will be extremely hot females there. And Katie's single, if I haven't mentioned that already. So there's going to be at least one hot single female there.
Okay. But the nice thing about this con is that there's going to be alternatives to gaming. We are going to have a masquerade, and we're going to have a gamer's gala. So
please register for the masquerade.
Bring your dancing shoes and no shirts. That's fine. I mean, you know, just come and dance.
If you don't want to wear your shirt, just please bring deodorant.
Yes.
But there's going to be good music. It's going to be music that everyone can dance to.
The Gamers Gala is going to be our dance, and we have a few surprises for that, hopefully. So even if you don't dance, you know, we want you out there.
Or just pretend you can dance, because most people don't know how to dance anyways.
Come watch us shake our butts. Well, now that we've had all these very important earth-shattering discussions tonight,
yes.
We thought we'd leave you with a final thought. We just wanted to discuss
the movies that are coming up this year. It sounds like it's going to be a really exciting year for different kinds of movies. There's Iron Man, which I am so stoked about.
Oh, so is Dan. Yeah. He watches the trailer like every night before he goes to bed. He's really excited about Iron Man.
Bed. bedtime story.
Yeah.
And now it's less than 365 days till Star Trek comes out on Christmas.
What do you think of that? Do you think that's going to be...
I pray...
They don't ruin it.
that it will be excellent and that they make it into a series. That is my prayer. I'm going to set up a little prayer altar to it. I so desperately want Star Trek back.
I am looking forward to seeing Gary Oldman, of course, in The Dark Knight Returns. And Harry Potter later in the year. Oh, no, he's dead. Never mind.
Don't say that. People might not have read it. It's okay. No.
Sirius Black's going to die.
He can always come back, right? You know, they can do anything.
In Star Trek, they can come back.
No, the books are already all written.
Yeah, but the movies aren't.
Well, they're not going to change it.
No, but they can put they still haven't put the movie out, though, is the point. There's also going to be the next in the Chronicles of Narnia is going to be coming out.
Prince Caspian.
Yeah, I'm going to live at the movie theater, I think, at Christmas. Which is funny. I only saw two movies this year that I absolutely had to see, one being Enchanted by Disney, which was fabulous.
That was really good.
And Sweeney Todd, which I thought
I want to see.
It's fabulous. I mean, if you are a Tim Burton fan, this is his opus. You're like, this is artistic. This is amazing. This is different. It's great. It's not a Moulin Rouge type piece of crap. This is excellent, excellent work.
Another movie I'm looking forward to seeing is, it's not really like a geeky one or comic, but it's the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, Lord, I'm really
looking forward to seeing that, just because I really like those action movies, and
I'm really anxious about that young actor that's Shia in that movie. I really didn't like him in Transformers.
Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is.
I thought his acting was forced, and I just really don't want him to ruin the entire movie for me.
Yeah, he's like the hot actor of the, you know, there's every year there's like an It actor that appears in like a ton of movies, and he's like the one right now, it seems like.
Ew.
Yeah,
I don't know. I love Transformers, but again, I wasn't watching it for him. I just wanted to see a bunch of robots transform.
The giant robot action was great.
The CG was
and the fact that they used the actual Optimus Prime voice was fabulous. I mean, the moment it started, like, oh, that's Optimus Prime!
Yeah. Sent chills up your spine.
Oh, brought me back to memories of childhood and being the only girl playing Transformers.
There's been talk about a Voltron movie coming out, too.
Seriously?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out this year, but I think they pushed it back to 2010.
I've heard about that. I'm kind of... From what I've heard, it's going to be live action. It's going to be in the United States.
Yeah, I read a brief script about... Not a script, but I read like a preview. I guess some guy reviewed the script, and it was going to be like a post-alien taking over the entire world, and they use Voltron to fight back or something. It looked interesting. It was better than the TV show, which I've watched some episodes recently and was like, I actually liked this when I was little. This is horrible.
Isn't it amazing that things that you absolutely loved as a kid, and you go back and watch, and you're thinking, I could never even subject my children to watch
the amount of plot holes in Voltron.
Or you can't even stand watching it yourself. It's like, I know anytime watching Gilligan's Island or something like that, you're like, this just hurts. This hurts my head on so many levels.
Adam and I had that happen with Sliders. We call it the Slider Syndrome because we both, before we knew each other, we both loved Sliders. I loved Jerry O'Connell. Adam, I think, just loved the show. And we bought the first three seasons a couple of years back and watched it. And we were just like, what has happened? We thought this was this wonderful show that we put up on a pedestal, and all of a sudden we're like, holy cow, how could we have ever watched
this? Only the first season was any good of that show, where the doctor was there.
Professor Arturo.
Yeah, once he died, that show went to hell.
Yeah, well,
another show that's like that is Sequest.
I never saw Sequest.
I like that. What's his face that was the young guy on there? I forget his name.
I don't know. There was a dolphin on there, but the...
No, it wasn't the dolphin.
I know sometimes was it like DVD, like a DVD set that you bought for Sliders?
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes, well, just in my experience, like I think we borrowed the first or second season of Family Guy on DVD. You know, I love Family Guy. It's really funny, whatever. But when we watched it on DVD, it was not as funny as it was because there were no commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird that the commercials actually can add something to a show. Like, not that there's any dramatic pauses in Family Guy, but the commercials broke it up to where it seemed to make it funnier. So without them, I can see how you're saying like the Slider Syndrome could have been like maybe something related to the lack of commercials.
I think it's just not how you remember it. Like, we bought the Buck Rogers collection, and that's nowhere near as good as I thought it was when I was little. I thought it was amazing and breathtaking. And now when I watch it, I'm like, okay, first season's good. Second season, questionable. Third season sucked. But I still have a place in my heart for Buck Rogers.
So do you guys
and
have
Twiggy?
Oh, sorry. So do you guys have any hopes for the future of you know, just either science fiction, fantasy, or especially movies that you would love to see made?
Well, I know one that I'm interested in is that they just announced The Hobbit is going to be made. They finally, Peter Jackson finally came to amends with MGM. So
really?
he's not directing it. He's going to be the executive producer. I think they're getting Sam Raimi to direct it. But he said that he wouldn't do anything that Peter Jackson wouldn't want. So I'm excited about The Hobbit finally being made into two films, I think. So that's pretty cool.
That'd be interesting. You know, I honestly never read any of the books, but I started with The Hobbit. I tried to read it and I could not get into it.
Tolkien's just very hard to read.
Yeah.
If you read the other three first, you know, I forced my dad to read them and mm-hmm. he loved the trilogy. But then I made the mistake of making him read The Hobbit after that. And he was just, it fizzles, you know, if you don't read that first, the story's not as powerful and
yeah,
not as engaging.
It has too much description. I can't read something that describes every single thing.
That's exactly how Tolkien is.
That's why I have a lot of trouble reading Lovecraft, because he goes into so much detail on how creepy the door is. And
she's going to fly across that table.
But as soon as they don't tell you what the monster looks like, and you're like, wait a second, what, you just went in and told me what the room looked like, and the chair, and then, you know, how white the whale was. Oh, that was Moby Dick. Wait a minute. But everything else, and then it's like, but it ate him. And you're like, well, what did the thing look like? I'm not going to tell you that.
All your imagination.
Oh, I can imagine what the room looked like.
I can imagine a squeaky door.
I would love for them to finally make the Red Dwarf movie.
Oh, God, yes.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. We went to the panel. Apparently, these guys do a St. Louis Celestial Intervention
Agency. The CIA.
They do a Red Dwarf panel and a Doctor Who panel every year at Archon. And we went last year and they said that in all likelihood, there probably won't be a Red Dwarf movie because it seems like it's been cursed every time that they've tried to make it, or they get someone to fund it. The person would die before they wrote the check, or the person would go into financial destitute, or they just can't get the actors to get their schedules together.
They definitely just need to bring the series back, get rid of Kachansky, and make sure they sign on Chris Berry.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also love if Christopher Eccleston came back to Doctor Who, but I don't think that's going to happen. I love David Tennant, but he's not Christopher Eccleston.
You know, I think with the Doctor Who's, you get fixed on the first Doctor that you watched, because the first Doctor that I watched was, of course, Tom Baker. And to me, he is the Doctor. I know he ran the longest in the series, but, and I know they have to have other Doctors, but to me, he is the epitome of the Doctor.
See, I disagree with that, because the first Doctor I saw was Pertwee, John Pertwee, and, you know, he was good. And then I hit Tom Baker, and I was like, wow, he's great. And then I hit David Peterson, and I was like, he sucks. And then Colin Baker, and he sucked. But then I got to Sylvester McCoy, and I was like, he is awesome. And then, of course, Eccleston, he should have had way more series. Yeah. There was no reason to kill him off and move on to someone else.
He was sexy.
He was the new Doctor. And I thank them for forgetting the fact that Fox made a Doctor Who, which really was awful.
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember what it was about. I remember clocks, lots of clocks.
They totally Americanized it. It was wrong. They should apologize.
I think we need a really good Cthulhu movie. I think it's time. We have the technology now to make a fantastic movie. I entertained the vain hope for a short time that the Cloverfield movie was actually about Cthulhu, but I think several of the websites have struck that down, and it was a terrible day for me.
I actually saw an old black and white movie, no sound. It was a silent movie, and it was a Cthulhu movie. It was actually pretty good.
I know there's a few out there. I've never seen any of them. Imagine that. I'm going to have to make it a day.
Why don't they have a Godzilla versus Cthulhu?
That would be good.
And then Godzilla would get eaten. And then Cthulhu would just be all, I'm going to rule the world.
Could we really tell if Godzilla went crazy?
No.
Maybe he would eat himself. Well, we're out of time tonight, but we just wanted to say thank you for listening to the G-Spot.
It's been a great show. Remember to spay or neuter your furry.
It's been a great hour. I hope you've had as much fun as I did.
Thanks again for listening. And don't forget to turn us on again next time.
Is that a dice bag in your pocket, or are you just happy to hear us?
I've got a big stick.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its host. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to FearTheBoot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at FearTheBoot.com.